Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with the valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests. Ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hey, welcome everybody. This is Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And today, Joe, we don't know whether he's out surrounded by turkeys and they're holding him hostage or he's somewhere in the barnyard, but we don't have Country Joe with us quite yet, but I do have our first guest with us, and it is Craig Russell from the Society for the Protection
Preservation of Poultry Antiquities.
Thank you so much for salvaging me with that. You know, I'm always afraid if I say it too fast, I'm going to mess it up. Now, I'm sure, you know, with the members of your society, you just call it the SPPA and be done with it, right?
Generally speaking, yes.
And this is an organization, we've had you on before, that is interested in preserving old breeds of chickens and rare breeds of chickens?
Yeah, we were initially set up to preserve the old breeds. But over time, we sort of became the champion of all rare poultry, simply because initially, and we've been around now since 1967, virtually nobody was concerned about older rare breeds of poultry. And interestingly enough, some of the rarest breeds are mid-20th century niche breeds that kind of lost their niche, but are still interesting genetically and an important part of our history. Breeds like Lilimona and Bard and White Hollands, which were heavy breeds that laid white eggs. Farm families usually wanted a medium or a large breed chicken, but in much of the country there was a premium paid for white eggs. New England and a few other places had a preference for brown eggs, but much of the country wanted a white egg. So this allowed people to have a chicken of the size they wanted, but still have the advantage in the market of having a white egg. And we've worked with those. In fact, I was getting calls yesterday from people who are interested in the Bard Hollands more for their history than their white eggs, although they are going to eat the eggs also.
You know, I remember when I was a child, there was a whole radio campaign. I'm up here in New England. I know you're in Virginia, right?
Nope, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. I knew you were further south than me, but not as far south as the rest of All Paws Pet Talk and Joe in Florida. But we had a radio campaign, and it may have been television, too, as well. I didn't watch a lot of television. I grew up out in kind of in the sticks, and we only got certain channels and only when the leaves weren't on the trees. But I remember brown eggs are local eggs, and local eggs are fresh. And it was a whole effort to promote brown eggs.
And that was the tradition in New England and many places, and it was absolutely true. The difference, although there are people who tell me that, I much prefer a brown egg, I'm pretty sure that if we had two eggs, say, from range chickens, which usually are much better than your, the chickens that don't get fresh food, cage layers and that sort of thing, but if we had two eggs from free-range chickens, one brown, one white, or maybe three, and one of them was bluish-green, nobody would be able to tell me which if they didn't see them broke into the pan. Yet there are people who have a preference for this egg or that egg. And I've met people who said, well, I don't like brown eggs. They come from farms. Well, so do white eggs, but in many cases they come from bigger farms.
And they all just come from chickens, so.
That's correct. When I ran my egg route, and I did that for a number of years in the 60s and 70s, I found that even though I couldn't tell the difference, children who didn't like eggs suddenly found that they loved the blue or green eggs of the Araucanas or the Americanas, and that was a marketing technique for me. I would slip a few eggs in that were unusually colored, and that opened the marketplace up for me in many cases, particularly with people who had children who didn't like eggs.
Well, and that's right. You know, I was always taught, even as a small child, being someone from a family where food was important, but visuals are important. I'm an artist myself. My grandmother was an artist. So I was always taught you eat with your eyes first. So mm-hmm. those children saw the blue egg and said, "Oh, that's going to taste better than that brown one. You know, I can see brown anywhere, but blue eggs." And you know, the only time I remember having white eggs as a child was around Easter time, because, of course, they take colors better, and I dearly loved coloring Easter eggs at Easter time.
And so you would get white eggs to do that. Although, I grew up with eggs of all colors, and the fact is, white eggs will take the pastel colors very well, but the brown eggs will take reds and that sort of thing and be much darker than you can do with a white egg.
Yes, I grew up in
a... You don't need much color for a blue or a green egg.
When I was a child, I grew up in an area with a lot of Polish immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would do the Polish, and some people call it the Russian-style eggs for Easter, which is, you know, the black with the really rich colors etched out of them. And so they would start with brown eggs.
Right.
And, you know, it was always fascinating to me. And, of course, as a kid, I was not patient enough to do eggs as fancy as those. But they were so pretty. You know, I was telling you before we were on the air, I got a gift from a friend who got a dozen eggs. Actually, she bought 14 dozen eggs at the farmer's market because it was such a rainy, miserable day. She was worried the farmers would be left with them. And I got what I'd call my first variety pack of eggs. So that was awfully fun to have, you know, a light blue one, a green one, a little smaller white ones, brown ones, big white ones. And I even think I got a duck egg in the basket, because that one I noticed had a much oranger yolk than all the others. And it was a more of an oblong egg.
And probably a little bigger than the others.
Yes, it was. Yeah. It was taller, you know, sitting in the box. We are running out of time for this segment already. Will you stick with me?
I sure will.
Excellent. You know, we'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And if anybody is listening and they have questions for Joe, for Craig Russell, or any of our guests, or even for me, if you go to AllPaws, P-A-W-S, PetTalk.com, there's a form right there on the homepage, and you can ask your questions right there, and we'll make sure they get to the right person. We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Your pet may be sick and not even know it. Your pet may appear healthy, but a vast majority of healthy-looking pets are actually infected with parasites and other infections that do not manifest themselves until they overwhelm the pet and the pet finally appears sick. Sometimes, by then, it is too late. To find out more about how you can help your pet to stay healthy, then go to www.quantumvetcare.com. That's www.quantumvetcare.com. VETCARE.com. www.quantumvetcare.com.
Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made. And here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, you may think that doesn't sound like a Joe, and no, I'm not a Josephine. I'm Karen Motz. I am Joe's co-host, and today I'm pinch hitting for him because we don't know whether he's out there, you know, tending to the hens or being penned in by turkeys. But I am here today with our guest, Craig Russell, from the SPPA, and we were talking about the different eggs and different popularities. Now, the blue and the green eggs, are those all the Americana or the
Araucana? Yeah. Primarily. Now, there are some Filipino games that lay eggs of that color, and there are a number of the Pacific Islands, Easter Island, and some of the Pacific Islands have chickens that, although not identical to the Araucanas, lay bluish green in most cases, although there are some that lay blue eggs. Usually they're aqua. And, of course, there are olive green eggs that were originally obtained by crossing blue and brown eggs. That'll give you a sort of an olive green. The darker the brown, the deeper the olive.
And, you know, it's funny. It struck me as appropriate that you said some of the Easter Island eggs are colored eggs.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it is. I didn't think of that, but if you're going to call the place Easter Island, it's good to have colored eggs there, I guess.
Now, are there any other colors of eggs that domesticated poultry lay? Are there any with a reddish tinge?
Not really reddish. There are some that have sort of a pink cast to them. And then, of course, there are tint eggs that can be obtained by crossing white and brown, although there are some breeds like Games and Dorkings that naturally lay a tint or off-white egg. But there are eggs that have a very defined pink cast, none really bright red. But you do have anywhere from white through pink, well, through tan to pink, to brown to blue to olive green. Chickens do lay a variety of eggs, and while we're talking about eggs, in much of Asia and parts of Eastern Europe, the duck eggs are more popular for eating than chicken eggs. Guinea eggs are considered to be a delicacy, and in some areas, particularly in Britain, France, they command a high price. And turkey eggs, good for, have a little more body than a chicken egg, good for making meringues, and custards, and things. Generally, taste like an egg. If I have a range egg, I'm pretty happy, whether it's turkey, guinea, chicken. Some people think that duck eggs are strong. I don't agree with that, really.
Well, when I was a child, I was sent out in the pen to collect the duck eggs, and that's how I ended up with chicken scars on my leg, because the chickens would lay their eggs in the nests, you know, like one would expect a chicken to. But the ducks, and I'm not sure what kind of ducks Aunt Shirley had, they were just, you know, they were farm ducks, would lay their eggs just on the ground in the pen. Mm-hmm. And so it was sometimes hard to find them because, of course, there were lots of rounded rocks in the yard. And the scars ended up from the one day the rooster decided I was not allowed in the pen and took exception with that. But it's funny because now in the stores in the last 5 years, I would say I have a very good produce market near me. And it provides produce and greens and some meats and eggs to the restaurants in the Boston area. And it's called Russo's. And you can go in Russo's and you can buy a little, you know, instead of a dozen chicken eggs, you can buy quail eggs.
Oh, yes.
And those have become quite popular.
And have long been popular in Asian cooking. Those are coturnics or poultry quail, not real closely, although they live much like the American quail. They're not real closely related to them, no more closely than partridge are or whatever. But they look a lot like our quail, except they're migratory. They have been raised in China, Egypt, and places like that for thousands of years, just like chickens, for their eggs. Which are tiny little things.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're pretty little speckled things, the ones I see in the stores.
They are.
And they almost look like you wouldn't want to break them and eat them. They're such pretty little things. But I know that, you know, different, because of the size of the egg, it presents differently visually, and different people prefer it over the chicken eggs, just, I don't know, because it's different or because it's special, or maybe as you said, it's popular in different regions of the world, so it's their local, their traditional egg to eat.
Right, and America is a melting pot. when you talk about American food, you have to add in Chinese and Mexican and Italian and a lot of others, which have all become kind of American food, and that works its way down to the ingredients in time.
That's right, and one of the things I like about living in the Boston area is you can hear more languages spoken in Russo's, for example, than you probably could walking through the halls at the United Nations. And so there are often greens and things that I would bring home for my rabbit to try that I could not identify what they were, but they were in the section with the baby bok choy and the other ingredients I think of as Asian. So I'm sure they were traditional Asian greens. So it would make sense that, you know, there were Asian, quote unquote, Asian eggs available as well.
Exactly.
And I'm sure you didn't mean that as the pun.
No, I didn't.
You know, when you had your egg root, did you have just hen eggs or duck eggs as well?
Well, I occasionally got special orders for duck eggs or guinea eggs, but I typically offered chicken eggs of a variety of kinds. If you wanted white eggs or brown eggs, I could provide that. But generally speaking, I presented a variety pack. I had tint eggs, white eggs, blue eggs, green eggs, and brown eggs. And dark brown eggs and light brown eggs.
You know, it's so fun because, as I said, the dozen eggs I got given to me from the farmer's market was the first time I had ever seen a quote-unquote variety pack of eggs.
Okay.
Because all the chicken farms in my area growing up, you know, they had one kind of chicken. So you got one batch of...
Probably
one,
Rhode Island Reds in most cases.
Yeah, probably. You know, we are running out of time for this segment. Folks, we'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all 4 paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show with Joe in absentia. I'm Karen Watts and I'm pinch hitting for him. And you know, we have with us Craig Russell of the SPPA. Now, we were just talking about that I had never encountered a variety pack of eggs, but all the eggs I grew up in the middle of Massachusetts, not far from the Connecticut-Rhode Island intersection where Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island all meet. Now, is that why you said I was probably having eggs from Rhode Island Reds as a child?
Well, yeah. Today, most of the brown eggs in the market, not all, the Rhode Island Red is still the most common brown egg-laying chicken in the world. Most of them today are from sex links, which are Rhode Island Red crosses. There are black sex links, not as popular as they used to be, although they're good winter layers, that are made by crossing a Rhode Island Red rooster, or sometimes a New Hampshire Red rooster, on Barred Rock hens. But most of your commercial sex links are what are loosely called red sex links. Some are more brown than others. But they're made by crossing generally a Rhode Island Red rooster on either Rhode Island White Rock, or Delaware hens. And that gives you a light-colored cockerel so they can be sexed by sight at day old, and a reddish pullet showing some white on the wings and tail. And the vast majority of the brown eggs today come from those hens, but in the 60s, 70s, even in the early 80s, most brown eggs were from Rhode Island Reds, although there were some from Barred and White Rocks and Rhode Island Whites. But today, the most common are from the sex links, which are a sort of Rhode Island Red hybrids. A lot of commercial chickens today, both layers and meat chickens, the vast majority of them are hybrids. Even the white leghorns that are laying are strain cross hybrids. In other words, they're pure white leghorn in most cases, although occasionally some Ancona or brown leghorn is used on one side. But the chickens are white. They're usually pure leghorn, but there's different pure strains that are crossed for your final production fowl.
Now, is that done for two questions? Is that done for reasons of genetics and hardiness? And the other question is, I've always wondered, you mentioned Rhode Island Reds, which of course I heard a lot of as a child, and you mentioned New Hampshire Reds. Now, are Rhode Island Red chickens really from Rhode Island?
They really are. Rhode Island was in the early 20th century, really a fairly rural place. Chicken farming to provide eggs and meat for the Boston and New York markets and other markets too, but primarily the big city markets, was common. And they developed, for whatever reason, red chickens were popular there. Originally, many of them were black-breasted reds. But they tried various crosses. And about, 1904, the Rhode Island Red was standardized by the APA, although chickens like that had probably existed for 10 or 15 years. There had been red chickens in Rhode Island for the better part of a century. They just were not the modern Rhode Island Red. They were working on developing a good layer. And the commercial Rhode Island Red today is smaller than it was even 50 years ago because most meat chickens today are what are generally referred to as corn rock crosses. However, they're actually very, very complex hybrids, mostly of Cornish and rock ancestry, but like the strain cross white leghorns, they put multiple strains into them. And instead of being an F1, a first-generation cross, they, in many cases, are like an F32. Many crosses go into the parent stock that then produces the final market fowl. Well, because they're the vast majority of our meat today, although we're starting to see a resurgence in, grass-pastured poultry and so on, but it's real chicken and not the veal product that we've become used to over the last 50 years. The fact is, Rhode Island developed the Rhode Island Red, and it's still important, although not so much as the final production fowl. And the Rhode Island Reds that are laying eggs are smaller than the standard size because they're not used much for meat. They're used for egg production. And a smaller hen that lays an egg the same size gives you a somewhat cheaper egg.
And, you know, it's funny because I'm so glad you're from the SPPA because, of course, we don't think a lot of the history of things. But what makes someone decide, you know, this bird here, this bird with this characteristics, this constitutes a Rhode Island Red?
Well, the recognized APA, and most countries have their own breed organization, and the American Poultry Association is the breed organization for Canada and the U.S., they have a very defined standard by weight, size, color, description, body type, and so on, as to what constitutes a Rhode Island Red. It covers such things as the color of the legs, yellow on a Rhode Island Red, the number of points on the comb, 5 preferred on a Rhode Island Red, and so on. It's a very very precise description of what the breed is. Now, production fowl do not always follow the standard that closely. As I said, since the 60s, the market Rhode Island Reds, the people who show Rhode Island Reds, show birds that match the standard. The people that are using Rhode Island Reds as a commercial laying bird, unless they're backyarders, they're probably using a bird that's somewhat smaller than the standard describes. That's not unusual. In the first half of the 20th century, most of the commercial people were raising a larger leghorn than the APA standard called for, and now they're raising a smaller leghorn. The reason was, in the first half of the 20th century, spent layers ended up in the market as meat birds, and you got a better price, which they felt offset the slightly higher cost of egg production in a larger bird. Today, it's like the Rhode Island Red. If you can get that large egg which is the bulk of the eggs sold, are large, not medium, not extra large, not small. The bulk of them are large. That's what the market seems to want. It's certainly what they have sort of prepared the market for. If you can get a smaller hen that will lay a large egg cheaper, that's looked at as a good thing. And so today, most of the leghorns that are raised commercially are smaller than the APA standard.
Well, you know, we are. I did not know that that question. I had a knack as a child, too, of asking what I thought was a simple question that would take the rest of the class in school, and I got in trouble for that once. But, you know, we are out of time for this segment. We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show.
Is your pet eating too fast? Well, we have the healthy solution. IQ is the perfect solution to help your cats and dogs lead a better life. With their new patented design, their bowl will make your dog and cat live a culinary experience by having them eat like nature intended. Having to play with their food not only reduces the chance that they have weight problems, but will also let them enjoy the chase, like they would in nature. Designed by a veterinarian technician, this bowl was acclaimed by veterinarians and behaviorists around the world and won Becker's Best in Show at the Global Pet Expo in 2012. Get one for your cats or dogs today at your local store or online at AIKIOU.com. That's AIKIOU.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back again to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. I'm Karen Watts, and Joe must be out there with the flocks at the moment. So we have with us today Craig Russell from the SPPA. And, you know, it was interesting. I am curious about, you know, what constitutes different breeds of a chicken. And I know that the SPPA is, you know, interested in preserving different breeds of chicken, the genetics of different kinds of chickens. And it's interesting to me how fashions change in what eggs people want or what foods people want. And we've been talking a lot about eggs this week. And one of the things I thought of as you were talking last segment was that, you know, you said that people have been sort of trained to expect large eggs. And I remember seeing in a cookbook as a child, you know, two large eggs, and cookbooks often mention large eggs. And I said to my mom at one point, you know, why does it always say large eggs? Is there any such thing as not large eggs? And my dad chimed in and corrected me that as a child, his uncle, Uncle Mac, so my great uncle had a farm as well as being a truck mechanic. And so he spent time every day grading the eggs, and some eggs were large eggs and some eggs were, you know, medium eggs or whatever the different grades were.
Right. Small, medium, large, extra large, three mediums equal two large, four smalls equal two large, and so on.
And I've never seen a recipe call for a small egg. So all the cookbook authors must have conspired to say, we'll just tell them large eggs.
Well, and, I think it's partly what was available in the market. Now, except for the Bantams, which lay, in many cases, sub-small eggs, most chickens at maturity lay a large or medium egg. By selection, you can over time, upgrade the size of a flock's eggs just by hatching the large eggs, or if you want to get larger eggs, the extra large eggs, and so on. We've talked a little about Leghorns. We've talked a little about Rhode Island Reds. And by the way, the New Hampshire Red was developed from the Rhode Island Red in the state of New Hampshire. They wanted a quicker maturing bird, and so that was what they selected. But today, most of the eggs that are commercial, backyarders and small farmers may have a variety of things, but most of the eggs that are commercial are from red sex lynx or strain cross white leghorns. But in the 60s and so on, 50s, there were still a lot of people that were raising other things. The rocks were popular. Minorcas. Some of the people who wanted to raise white eggs preferred the Minorcas to the Leghorns. They were a bigger breed, but they laid bigger eggs on average, and you get a higher percentage of large and extra large eggs. So they were popular. They were also considered better winter layers than the Leghorns. Another reason why some producers selected them. But
now, when you talk about winter layers, is that a function of the amount of light available, or the time of year, or
or
the temperature?
There are some breeds that have been selected for laying under winter conditions. Dorkings, for instance, one of the oldest Western breeds. Go back at least to the time of the Romans and probably before that, they're good winter layers. And partly that was because over the centuries, people selected the hens that laid well in the winter and used those as breeders. Kind of the same thing with the Minorca, although the Minorcas are larger than Leghorns, and part of their secret may have been that with the larger body, they lost less heat and were better able to produce in the winter than the Leghorns were.
So are there breeds that are specific, area-specific? Like, are there chickens that do better in, like, Scandinavia, where some of my ancestors are from, where there's less light, so you needed a bird?
That's correct. There are breeds that are developed. For instance, the Chanticleer is a Canadian breed. It's the only recognized breed in the APA that was developed in Canada pretty much exclusively. And it's a chicken that not only lays pretty well in the winter, it's very cold hardy. It does not get cold, doesn't let the cold get it down and stop egg production and that kind of thing. The farm that I'm speaking from today, I've lived here since 1983. It was 30 years last month. And the first winter I was here, which would have been 83-84, it was a mild fall. And in fact, Christmas Eve morning came in at 55 degrees, and they said, oh, there's a Arctic front coming. And I thought, well, okay, how bad can it be? It's been warm all month. Well, Christmas morning, it was 30 below zero. And my Rhode Island Reds and my Black Sex Lynx, I was still running an egg route then, they were laying probably about 80%. It turned that cold, and they were in kind of the best pen in the barn. They were in the southeast corner, and the day after Christmas, I got one egg from them.
They said, nope, too cold, conserving everything.
They said, enough of this. Interestingly enough, the Dorkings, which are good winter layers but not considered a great laying breed, they just kept shelling out the eggs. They were in the northwest corner, which was like the worst place to be. But they kept shelling out the eggs. their production might have fallen off like 10%, but it was amazing what that can do. It was, yeah, too cold. We don't work under these conditions.
So it's definitely as much a function of temperature as the amount of light, because, of course, while the days toward Christmas are getting shorter and shorter, it's not getting, you know, so much shorter a day in the course of 24 hours that a chicken would notice. But, you know, having that degree
right.
of temperature difference.
That is true. In the spring, your greatest production in most cases comes as the days are getting longer. That stimulates egg production. But some breeds have been selected to lay under low-light conditions, short-day conditions.
To lay in the darks of Sweden or northern Canada, even in December and January. We are running out of time for this segment. Folks, we will be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. You know, we're talking with Craig Russell of the SPPA, and we're talking a lot about eggs this week and egg production, how it varies during different times of the year and different temperatures and different amounts of light. And I suppose it would make sense that egg production picks up in the spring. I mean, that's when we think of all the wild birds laying their eggs.
Right. And the chicken is descended from the wild jungle fowls. And although some of those are fairly productive as far as wild birds go, for instance, peafowl that are in the same highland game birds, upland game birds, as the chickens, you might have a hen that would lay 30 eggs in a year, but they usually lay 4 to 6 eggs in a clutch and maybe 2 clutches a year, 8 to 12 eggs. If you keep taking their eggs, you might get 30, but some birds, chickens, including the jungle fowl, turkeys, guinea fowl, are capable of, even the wild types are capable of fairly good production if you keep taking their eggs. There are chickens that don't lay very well. The Malgache or Madagascar game, they tend to lay about 20 eggs in the spring and maybe 10 to 20 in the fall, and that's about it. but with a little.
I wonder if that's because, you know, Madagascar is in the southern hemisphere and the temperature is fairly warm year round. So evolutionary wise, it's not like they needed to, you know, have offspring all year round.
Well, yeah, most of the chickens don't have offspring all year round. Naturally, left to their own devices, they do it in the spring or early summer. But they have the potential for greater egg production than some other species, and there are a few breeds of chickens like the Malgache that don't have much capacity for egg production. They do a clutch in the spring, and maybe they'll do a clutch or a small clutch when the conditions are similar in the fall.
So does that mean that they are rarer breeds than some?
They are. It does mean they are rarer, but it was still, until probably the 20th century, the production breed on Madagascar. Now, the Europeans and the Americans have provided them with all sorts of modern chickens, I guess, and almost wiped out a heritage or heirloom breed that had a lot going for it in natural conditions in a place like Madagascar. The jungle fowl, even though generally found in warm temperate zones or tropical areas, their production, or at least the bulk of their reproduction, was in the spring, as it is with most birds. There are exceptions. Some of the songbirds, for instance, hatch late summer or in the fall. For instance, goldfinches hatch late. House finches hatch early. The two have very similar lifestyles, but they don't interfere with each other's feeding the young because they hatch at different times of year.
Yeah, so in the wild, do chickens eat the ones that usually, you know, have their eggs in the spring a lot? Are they the chickens that eat bugs more than grain, and the ones that eat grains more than bugs would have them in the fall, or is that
something we
just don't know?
The chickens are omnivores. Now, we've made some of the domestic chickens into vegetarians, but not very willingly. They would like to have a mixed diet. Greens, bugs, grain, or seeds are all part of the jungle fowl's diet. We've adapted to the domestic chicken to domestic grains and that kind of thing. But natural chickens eat a variety of foods, seeds, fruits, a variety of vegetables, insects, some of the larger things like the Malgache, Malays, and so on. They're glad to take mice and even very young rats.
Wow.
But insects, small invertebrates of many kinds, are all considered part of the chicken's diet by the chicken.
You know, and I always think of the chickens in Aunt Shirley's yard, you know, scratching around, and I knew that there were bugs that they were finding in the dirt that they were eating, and they seemed perfectly happy to be eating bugs, and I thought, better them than me.
Well, as a guy who does wild food programs, in a survival situation, you should know what bugs you can eat.
Yes, but for now I'll be thankful that I can avoid eating bugs as much as possible.
Things without bugs, I don't blame you.
You know, as we always had a big garden growing up, and one of my husband's least fond memories was finding an inchworm in his salad one of the first times he ate out at my parents' house, and my mother just looking at him and said, "Oh, it's just a little extra protein," and were he a chicken, I'm sure he would have been perfectly happy to have that.
I'm sure he would have.
You know, it's funny when we think about all the different kinds of chickens from all over the world and the different things they eat and the different needs they have, but, you know, we think of chickens as being everywhere, wherever there are people.
And that's true. They are. They are. Historically, they've been every man's livestock. But their area of origin is sort of Southeast Asia. The jungle fowl, the red jungle fowl, is found from India over into Malaysia. The gray jungle fowl, a little north of them, although they overlap in some areas in India. The Ceylonese jungle fowl on the island of Ceylon, or Sri Lanka now, and the green jungle fowl in Indonesia.
And so from those areas of the world, we got chickens everywhere.
That's correct.
And, you know, there's chickens in every cuisine I can think of. And so being, of course, good Americans, we have some hybrid chickens like we have hybrid humans here. And our cuisine is all hybrid and mixture of many different cultures. So it's good the SPPA is concerned with preserving some of the old breeds. Craig, I want to thank you so much for being with us again this week. And we're running out of time for this week. If somebody is interested in the SPPA, is there a way they can contact you?
I think Joe, who's one of our members, has information on his website on how to join, but I get calls at home all the time. I can give you my number if you want it.
Why don't you give that to our listeners?
570-837-3157.
And, you know, if any of our listeners didn't get a chance to write that down, they can always go to allpawspettalk.com. If you fill in the form on there, I'll make sure we get the phone number to you. I want to thank you so much for being with us, and that's it for this week.